Today on This Week in Pop, we're back.
Yeah.
Woo.
Do you remember us?
Nah.
No, I don't. Who are you guys? We're going to talk about where we've been for the past several years, mainly the last year, but also movies. Movies are also back. That's exciting. Yep.
We're going to rehash some old things. I'm going to say the same jokes I've told before.
It'd
be great.
Where do we go to see the movies? I hear they're coming out, but I don't know where to get them.
We're going to find out on this thing, on this podcast.
Today you'll find out where to go see the movies. It's a building and it has a name, and we'll tell you what it is.
I can't wait.
Welcome to This Week in Pop. I'm Tommy West.
I'm Maxwell.
Yeah.
I'm Caitlin. Do you want to do that again?
It's been a while. We had to do the names. I didn't know. I mean, you would do it. Yeah. We could be here for a long time before someone says the name.
We used to.
But I'm Maxwell.
Yes. But it's been a while since we did the whole rundown of like who our names are. And we used to be really snappy.
Yeah. I almost forgot.
Yeah. It's been so long. And then before we started recording this, Caitlin, I mentioned when we were like getting set up for the podcast, I think the last time or the last fleeting memory I have of us hanging out and talking about movies and stuff, you were like, hey guys, I found this thing called MoviePass and it's really cool. It's like $30 a month.
We're dating ourselves.
You opened my world, Caitlin. That was like a game changer for everybody.
I know.
Yeah. As shitty as I'm sorry, can we curse?
You can curse.
As shitty as MoviePass was, it gave birth to the A-list, which
But even when I had it, it wasn't until like still a few years later until it actually like
blew up.
So you had MoviePass before it was like in the zeitgeist, before it was like,
yes,
like the thing when like it gave people free movies. Yeah. What did it do before? What did it offer you?
It was the same thing, except it was just, instead of being like $9.95 a month, it was, I think it was $29.95 a month.
Yeah. But you still got unlimited movies.
Yes.
Oh, it wasn't limited back then with the $30? I didn't know that.
Interesting.
Yeah. I remember you touting
it back then.
I remember you touting it and being like, it's $30 a month and I can go see all the movies I want. But I was like, oh, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of commitment. And then they dropped it down. And that was the thing when all the news blew up and they dropped it to $10. I was like, I know about it because of Caitlin. I know someone. So,
I mean, I agree with you, Tommy. It is a hassle. I think if you lived anywhere other than a city where you're not like a movie nut, it's kind of maybe not worth it. You know, it's hard to get out or drive, you know, 20 minutes to your theater. But when you live three blocks from a movie theater or it's a 5-minute drive, it's an amazing thing.
I can admit now that I would take the subway to work and I would go under I forget the name of the building, but Alamo Draft House was there, and you had to be in the vicinity, the geolocation of the theater. So on my way into work, I would check in and get a ticket to an Alamo Draft House movie and then not go to the movie because I could go, like, I wasn't going to go to the movies that day. And then I immediately like made it up to like Alamo's like top commander status or whatever it was called within 2 weeks. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I was like, I'm going to make this. I'm the sole reason why MoviePass went out of business.
Thanks, Tommy.
It's all my
fault. I knew it was you.
It's been a while since we've all talked in general, but what have you guys been up to? Because I feel like during COVID and lockdown, everyone found new hobbies. Mine is podcasting.
Ironic.
I did nothing until the movies opened up again. I literally just sat and I waited. And as soon as theaters opened up, then I started going to movies again.
So you have gone into a theater?
Oh, many times. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't yet.
Fine. Yeah. I honestly, it's been fine. I mean, considering the fact that they're having massive Madison Square Garden concerts now with the Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
Go to a movie theater. And honestly, nobody's in there anymore. And they're still keeping seats separated. You can sort of sit by yourself. I haven't had any problems. I think it's been great.
I haven't. It's not so much that I'm worried about catching anything. It's just that I'm lazy.
Yeah, it's true.
Can't count for that.
I was going to say, how do you like, especially you, Maxwell, who's like a Mr. Theater goer, like, how do you, anyway, I guess, well, Caitlin, do you too? I mean, you literally had a movie pass before movie pass was anything.
She might be worse than me.
Like, but I think you kind of like also like gave it away there too, Caitlin. But like, yeah, how do you guys feel about the fact that like we're getting day and date with like, you know, movies in like the theater, but also on HBO Max, you know? So like, it's like, I can go to the theater, but I can also just stay home and watch the same movie.
I'm torn. You know, I did that. I think I forgot the first one. Maybe it was Godzilla versus Kong. There was maybe one before it. But I remember, you know, being very excited to see it on an iPad because I just wanted to watch it.
An iPad?
I'm sorry. That's how
I watched it. Oh, my God.
It's sacrilege. And I went to the, to be fair, I went to the theater to go see it after the fact. But at the time, I don't think theaters were like officially open yet or that people were still afraid to go. And I just wanted new content. I was so sick of watching like repeat movies. Like I can only watch other Fast and Furious movies for so long. How many times can I watch Fast Five? Not that many.
No.
So I wanted new content, and I watched it on iPad, and it didn't look as good as the theater, but I was still happy to be watching a new movie. So
that's like, you're like you're the equivalent of when iPod videos came out and people were like, yeah, I can watch music videos on this tiny little 2-inch screen.
That's right. I did. I should have broken out my iPod video to watch Godzilla vs. Kong. I probably could have. But I don't know. I mean, as long as it's not affecting people's, you know, how much money they're making, not like the, not the movie companies. I don't give a shit about that. But as long as it's not affecting people's work and they can't get more work, if it's not a good thing, then hey, don't do it. But if it's not affecting the box office, if, you know, A Quiet Place 2 can still make, you know, $60 million on its opening weekend and still be on streaming, why not keep doing it, you know?
But actually, that's a good point. So I was going to say there's movies where I don't care. Like, I'll just watch it in my apartment, but with, for example, A Quiet Place Part 2, that is something where I would go to the theater to actually see, because I feel like it warrants being in a large theater for that type of movie.
Yeah,
I guess, sure. And again, Godzilla vs. Kong, maybe not the best one to, you know, say I watched on an iPad, because again, that warrants being seen on a big screen.
Yeah.
But that Angelina Jolie, Taylor Sheridan movie, Those Who Wish Me Dead, like, I didn't need to see that. I did not need to see that in the theater. So I'm happy it was on HBO Max, because A, it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And B, I didn't have to go anywhere to watch it, you know? No harm done.
There's also something to be said about the fact that, like, I remember around the holidays when Wonder Woman 84 came out, everyone was kind of with their families, and it became like an event. Like, we're all like, instead of us all having to go to the movies and then comment on how terrible some parts of that movie were, we all got to do it together as a family during the holidays, you know? And so I think that's like one of the aspects of it. Like, you know, when HBO Max has been doing a bunch of releases and some of them have been bigger than others, I think the excitement of like being like on the zeitgeist of like, hey, we're all, you don't have to go to the movies to go see it. More people can be involved in like that opening weekend. Like, let's go talk about this. Let's go watch this. And then, you know, all chat about it, which would make a podcast really good during that time. Should have got together sooner.
Yes. I think my biggest fear, though, is it's going to become a thing where like studios are going to say, oh no, this is a stinker. Let's just dump this on streaming. Like, I don't want it to become like, oh, like the ones they're going to put on streaming are the duds.
Yeah.
And the ones that are going to be good. Like, I know Dennis, I'm always going to butcher his last name, Dennis Villeneuve, whoever did Arrival and Prisoners, he's making Dune, and he does not want that movie to be on streaming when it comes out in theaters. And I get it, you know?
Yeah. I can't see that one going straight to video.
Yeah, you don't want the preview to say now in theaters and HBO Max. Like, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
Yeah.
For Tom and Jerry, fine.
Yeah.
For Dune, you don't want that.
For Peter Rabbit 2.
Yeah.
That's sure. All right.
Streaming, HBO Max.
There are lots of plot holes in Tom and Jerry. And so that can, we can throw that on HBO Max. We're good. And with that, too, I mean, I think it makes you wonder, because there are some movies like HBO Max and, like, I guess Warner, like, they decided like, hey, the entire 2020 and 2021 slate, we're all going day and date, are going to land on HBO Max. Disney did a bunch of stuff like, you know, the latest Pixar movie that just came out like this past week or so. Luca. They threw on there, but they're like, what is it? Black Widow. They're still like, we're not dumping that. We're holding that until people go to theaters again.
But no, actually, I don't like what Disney is doing because they charge you.
Oh, are
to
they? Yeah.
Actually watch those premium
Disney plus.
Oh, yeah. Hell, I've been watching it. Have I been paying for this? Am I not aware?
That-
Oh, no.
I mean, there's Disney Plus, and then there's like the other Disney
Plus. Plus,
make
plus.
You pay. Like, you have to have a subscription, and then it's, I think it's $30 to.
Yeah.
Watch. Like, they did that with Mulan. They're going to do that with Black Widow. Other ones, they're not, like Luca and Soul. Surprisingly, Soul, they didn't charge money for, which was very surprising to me.
Oh, they didn't? I didn't know that.
No.
They did it for Raya and the Last Dragon, which is really good.
I like that.
Yeah.
It was very cute. I waited until it was only available like for regular Joe Schmo plus.
Yeah, I didn't pay for it. That was good.
But for Black Widow, I would consider paying the $30 for it, you know, maybe.
But on that hand, for Black Widow, I would actually go to the movie theater to watch it.
Right. But would you have done that 6 months ago? Like when theaters were open, but like people didn't want to go. That's what I'm saying. Like would you risk it? If it was like the early days,
if I was unvaccinated,
let's say, give me both.
Yeah. What's the break point?
If I was unvaccinated, I definitely wouldn't have gone to the movie theater, but I still wouldn't have paid $30 to watch it.
Yeah,
I guess I'm the schmo without the family that would still pay the $30.
Yeah. Is it?
At the point?
But I'm saying like, is it like
I would get somebody. I would get you, Maxwell, to purchase it.
Yeah.
And then I would watch it with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
We can all come over to your house. Yeah.
I'm quoting air quotes.
Yes. But that's the thing, too, is like I feel like there's a rent, like if you look at like what Disney Plus has been doing, like what all their different series, like Loki now, and then WandaVision was like an event when that was on, right? Because everyone, like it's this pretty premium program, right? It's I think WandaVision like rode that line of being like something that could have been like a movie that's chopped up, but it was definitely like still in the like series kind of production value. But like I think that's the thing, is like there's like the tentpole events and like there's them earning back their money, and then some stuff they can dump there, but some stuff they can just I think there's like a new medium. I think there's like there's a TV series. I think there's a movie, and then there's something in between that's like we can premiere it at home. Yeah.
Yeah. The limited series, like the Mayor of Easttown on HBO, like little short bursts of TV that they put a lot of money and production value in, which is a really smart thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference between, you know, we were just talking about like How I Met Your Mother or Four Friends or something that has a very short product, you know, very small production value. Not a lot of money is put into the sets. And then you have something like Loki or WandaVision where they make that a priority and it looks very pretty, you know, and I think it really pays off. I mean, I'm only two episodes into Loki, but for those who've seen all of WandaVision, like it looked like a movie. It was a movie quality TV show, which is important and a very cool thing.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I want to bring up is, so what is both of your opinions on having all episodes available to watch all at once? So you can binge it, or having them release an episode a week.
I don't know. I'm a binger, but I have no life and no self-control. Like, I want everything now. You know, I kind of like the fact that Loki's coming week to week, or WandaVision came week to week, because it gives you something to look forward to. But had Loki come out all at once, I would have finished it in the day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I wish I had. What?
I'm a binger at heart, but I probably would also appreciate day-to-day releases.
I wish I was trying to find the article that I was reading, but so that I could like give the source. But there was a study that was done that said that people who binge like TV shows, binge watchers, they're actually more depressed than people who watch shows week after week.
Thanks.
But no, that's not an accusatory anything about you. You seem like a very happy person. Yeah.
Not going to be after this.
I found that so interesting.
Yeah.
And so actually that kind of explains why I like to watch TV shows week to week. I am a terrible binge watcher.
Yeah.
And so because usually when I watch things like one after another, if I binge it over like 2 days, I'm actually not happy with myself after I finish it. I'm like,
cause then you're like, now what?
Now what? And then also I all those hours that I just sat on my couch doing nothing.
But you still spend those hours doing nothing, just more spread out. It's spread out. Happened.
Yeah. That's how I do things.
I think there's a difference because I feel like there are some shows that if it's a short show, I think it's garbage to not release them all at once. Right. Like if you go back to how things were in the 90s when we used to all watch sitcoms on like NBC, like must see TV, and it's a 22 minute episode and it's spread out across like. That's terrible.
Yeah, but that was the same thing with WandaVision. And you just said that you were excited to watch it week after week.
Well, but here's the difference. How long was WandaVision? Those weren't that short of episodes. Those had a little bit of length to them, right?
No, they were like 45 minutes. They were less than a half hour.
Were they?
Yeah. Because I remember watching the first episode and I wasn't that impressed with it. And I'm like,
That
was short.
Although I will say the first two were not that good of WandaVision. I'm kind of surprised they didn't release like the first four episodes.
Yeah.
By episode 3 and 4, when it got out of that 60s land, it got better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I understand people like the schlockiness of the fact that they made like a really like a 60s era Bewitched type show in a modern day. But when it actually got into the real, you know, Marvel story. Cinematic Universe, the story, it to me is when it really picked up. So I'm actually kind of surprised that they did not release a bulk of those to begin with and then go week to week. With something like Loki or Falcon and the Winter Soldier, like they get into it episode one and it hooks you in. But Caitlin, I agree with you. The first episode of WandaVision did not make me want to watch more. I only continued because I knew it was going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
But I agree with you that it really did not hook me in.
And just to add to that too, I waited, and maybe this is why I also conflated it, because I had to look it up, and the first episode was 30 minutes, the second episode was 37, but I actually waited a couple weeks to start watching it so that I had some buffer. I buffered the episode, so like by the time I started episode one, episode four was out, and then I started it, and then I caught up, and then I had to go wait week to week by like episode five or six or something like that. So
that's what I just did with Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
That, I was behind a little bit.
Wait, they're doing week to week on that?
They were. Well, now it's done.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
But it always gave me something to look forward to.
Yeah.
I'm going incredibly off topic here, but it was very perplexing to me last season of Handmaid's Tale. What are they in season four now?
Yes.
I think when season three came out, I had no idea it came out. I feel like they did no promotion for that. It kind of boggled my mind. A little bit with season four, too. I don't know if it's because I wasn't watching TV or I wasn't seeing commercials, but there are certain shows, like, or maybe it was just that one. They just didn't promote it. And I liked that because by the time I found out it was on, all the episodes were up.
Yeah.
And I loved that. Like, I got to watch it all. So I guess my own ignorance, like, helped me be able to binge.
Right.
And can't be depressed. Thank you.
Yes.
While I binged.
Well, I mean, watching Handmaid's Tale will just make you depressed anyway. Yeah. So
matter what you do, that is depressing. That is true. But Tommy, I do the same thing like you. I like buffering, but it helps when I like forget that the show even exists in the first place, because then I don't have to like wait like Cartman waiting for that goddamn Wii, waiting for 3,000 years to freeze himself.
Yeah. See, I'm
ignorance is bliss.
I'm buffering Loki right now. I haven't started Loki. I've heard good things.
Oh my God. I can't buffer it.
I gotta buffer it.
I need my Tom Hiddleston fix every week.
Way before
Loki. So it's funny. When I was watching Falcon and Winter Soldier, I was like, oh my God, Sebastian Stan. Yeah. And now I'm like, yes, Tom Hiddleston.
So Caitlin's clearly watching for only one reason.
Yes.
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 But Tommy, like you, I do like to buffer, but I couldn't do it for Loki. And I don't think you should either. You should jump in. You're three episodes out now.
Yeah, I know. I'm at a good point now. I'm at a good point now where I can buffer. I've buffered. Mm-hmm. I can jump in the pool now. So
You're only half depressed because you're only watching half of the season. So you're good.
Yeah.
Not going to let that go, Caitlin.
Sort of a good segue, though. So we're going into the summer, literally last week. I don't know. That's science. But it's officially summer now. Whenever we're listening to this, I guess. Yes, this week in pop. That's the title of the show.
You did it.
Yeah.
You said you're going to do that.
So we have some movies to look forward to, some that will actually be in a movie theater, which is a place people go to watch movies. It's a fancy new invention.
The cinema.
What movies? I'm pulling up the list because I don't do show prep. Are there any movies you guys are actually looking forward to? Because I don't feel like I feel like without even looking at lists, typically a summer, we know what's coming, or at least know some tent poles we're excited to go see. This summer, I'm like, I don't even know what's delayed. Like, at least last year, even the middle of COVID, we still had like Tenet premiering around the 4th of July. I don't know if we even have that this year.
I agree. And I still don't understand Tenet. And I've seen it. No one ever will.
I watched the ending of it twice and I was just like, nope. I don't understand. What I learned is that
Robert Pattinson and John David Washington are best friends. That's all I got from it. Like they were
spoilers.
That's all I came. That's not even a spoiler because it doesn't mean anything. But that's how I interpreted the ending. Like, oh, they're friends. Okay. Stuff that's coming out. The only thing that I am really, really looking forward to is Space Jam.
I was just going to say Space Jam.
I'm a sucker for schlocky cartoons and basketball players coexisting in a movie. So Space Jam for me, easily.
If that's
coming out in July.
Yeah.
I don't know how LeBron's going to be as an actor. We have very limited capacity in terms of what he's done before.
Yeah.
I think he was in Trainwreck with Bill Hader.
Yeah.
Which
is kind of funny. But can he carry a movie?
Yeah.
We're going to find out. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if I'm even allowed to say it, but I did see a test screening of M. Night's new movie, Old. So I really can't say anything about it, but I did see
I didn't even know that he was coming out with another movie.
Yeah, he's got a new movie coming up that's based on a very short French graphic novel about a family who goes to a secluded beach and they start to age rapidly, like very rapidly, like 1 year equals 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's all about them trying to figure out what's going on. I will say based on the book, not the movie, it's very, very dark. And I'm curious how people would interpret it because M. Night doesn't have the best track record these days. Some are good. Mm-hmm. You know, he's good with the low budget stuff, but anything can be happening again. So I'm not sure how they're going to take it. I will say, I don't know if it's just him, but he gets strange performances out of people. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed that, but when you watch his movies, I feel like people are acting differently than they are in other movies.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's how he directs it. I'm not sure if that's how the way he writes it, but it always seems a little off.
Yeah.
And I feel like The Happening was a very extreme example of that. But even his other movies like The Village or Signs, the acting to me just seemed a little strange. Have you guys ever realized that or noticed that, or am I just in my head?
I actually haven't watched that many of his films.
Yeah. That's
your homework.
Oh.
When I think of The Happening, I just think of Mark Wahlberg's like facial expressions that basically became a meme more than anything else.
Talking to trees.
Yeah. Just like his confused, perplexed look looking in the distance. But I don't know. M. Night movies are always like weirdly very hit or miss. And I feel like to give him a little bit of benefit, as of late, I feel like it used to be the twist was the real pull and draw to the movie. And that was kind of it. And without the twist, there was kind of nothing else to it. And I feel like he's gotten away from that. And
yeah,
it's not his Achilles heel. That's not the right word. It's not his crutch. Yeah.
Well, all right. I went on a tangent, but he has one coming out called Old, coming out in July. I'm looking for you guys will look forward to that.
Yeah.
And then the other one I'm kind of looking forward to is The Suicide Squad.
Yes.
James Gunn's movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which comes out August 6th.
Yeah.
I will not talk about the other Suicide Squad that came out because that is not a movie.
Yeah.
That is something else entirely. But this one looks good. I have faith in James Gunn. I have faith in the cast. He's it's all coming together. It's a big cast. I have to assume a lot of them are going to die very early on because it's too large of a cast to carry for 2 whole hours. There's a lot of people in it. Idris Elba, Margot Robbie, John Cena, Pete Davidson.
So what I find ironic with Idris Elba is that he wanted to distance himself so much from Marvel. And then he goes and now he's in the Suicide Squad. I'm like, this is the same thing.
Why he wanted to do that?
I don't remember. I forget around which movie it was in the MCU, but he was saying that he didn't want to be involved in the project anymore.
I'm Googling now too. Oh, wait.
I don't think he was.
Yeah, he definitely was.
He was in Thor.
Oh my God, that's terrible. I cannot believe I forgot that. Wow, I'm ashamed. Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
That's right. He died in, what's it called? Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Sad.
I thought that it was so interesting that he decided to be in the Suicide Squad. Because, like, if anything, you would want to stay on the Marvel side.
Yeah.
Because Marvel is doing better than DC.
It's very true. Yeah. I can't believe I forgot he was in Thor and those movies.
Is it weird? I was going to say, is it weird that I've seen the trailer and I'm not like blown away like, whoa, this is a movie I need to see. But to your point, like I have a lot of faith in James Gunn. I have a lot of faith in that cast where I'm just like, all right, on the surface, the trailer isn't like I'm not in love with it, but I have enough faith in everyone involved that I'm like, I'm showing up as a friend. I'm going to go.
I think they're banking on everybody doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I go with low expectations for those kind of movies. And again, I'm with you. Like even Birds of Prey, I didn't think was that good, but I mean, people loved it. It got fairly good reviews, made some money, but it was in the same vein of these other movies like Suicide Squad and now The Suicide Squad, if not a reboot, a retelling of that first movie. Mm-hmm. So Tommy, I agree with you, but I feel like you said, if you go in with super low expectations, it's hard to be let down. So. And again, that's day and date streaming. So go watch on HBO Max if you don't want to go to the theaters.
Looking at some others in the list, which is, I feel like a lot of the stuff is sort of late in the summer. One of which is in August, because you have the Suicide Squad is August 6th. I'm guessing these dates are all up to date. And then Free Guy, which is the Ryan Reynolds movies finally coming out.
Wow.
And that's,
I remember I saw
trailers for that.
Yes. Yeah. I saw a trailer for that like 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
Yep. This movie has had the worst luck. I feel like they've tried to get this cut out many, many times. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to feel dated now that's, you know, it definitely was made 3 or 4 years ago. But I will go see anything Taika Waititi is in. So I'm already got a ticket for that.
I don't think the time period, like the length of time it's been since they shot it. I don't think that would affect me or many people, just because the movies that I've been watching recently, I'll like go after I watch it, I will go and I'll Google it and just see like what other people were thinking about it. And like, I'll read like the Wikipedia page and about like the release and like the production of it and stuff like that. And like a lot of these films that are being released this year, they were filmed like two or three years ago and they were supposed to be released last year, blah, 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 blah. But I think that's really interesting. I'm like, wow, I know that films take a long time to be created and go into post-production and stuff like that. And like, I remember like when I was younger being like, oh yeah, like these people, all these actors aren't promoting it now, but they shot it like last year. Now it's like 2 or 3 years beforehand.
Yeah.
And so it must be weird for the actors to like get back into that mindset of these characters and like start to promote
it. To remember what they did. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm also surprised that there are, I figured that there'd be more movies coming out this summer, but I'm looking at the schedule now and it is pretty in line sparse with what would have been happening anyway. I would have thought that there'd be this like year and a half, like backlog of all these movies. They just want to shut out there, but I don't think there's really a lot. Looking at it now, like there's the Fast and Furious movie. There's the new Purge movie. There's the Marvel movies. There's another escape room coming out for some reason. But I'm looking at like the schedule and I'm seeing only like one or two each weekend. I would have thought we'd get maybe three or four big ones at least.
Yeah.
Maybe they're waiting for 2022. I don't really know.
And
this weekend's the big one. One of the big ones, Fast and Furious, that comes out this weekend.
No, you got to say the
start of it.
You got to say the real title, what they call it.
F9.
Yeah. Fast 9.
Yeah. That's it, baby.
I can say that I have not seen any of those movies.
Yeah.
Should I?
I think I saw one with you, Maxwell, actually. Did I that?
Which one?
Because I would never go on my own to go see one of those. But I remember going to see.
But you'd go. If it's with me, you'll go.
Yeah.
You can just blame me.
Whichever one I went to, and I'm pretty sure it was with you, was the one where like, and this obviously doesn't narrow it down, but like. It was a plane taking off and the cars are inside. And then that scene of a plane going down a runway, a single runway literally spanned a half hour where it was just like, how long is this runway? And it didn't make any logical sense, but neither did the rest of the movie. Like that's not the, but that's.
But Ludacris is there to tell you that it doesn't matter. You'll be put on this runway for 30 minutes. Doesn't matter.
But to that point, like I'm looking like the one of the trailers that came out about a month or two ago at this point was the new Edgar Wright film, Last Night in Soho. And that doesn't even come out until October. And that was like a little intriguing to me, but like there's not. And again, I don't know if they're just trying to shove in like, you know, star power tent poles in here, like whatever's kind of left. There's also a spinoff of the G.I. Joe series, apparently, which I didn't know was a series. Yeah. But aside from that, and then there's Jungle Cruise, I think, is the only remaining one on the list here that has some kind of.
Was that the one with The Rock?
You would think it is. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of funny because it's like, was he just dressed up for the Jumanji movie? And they're just like, just come right over here. We'll keep the same clothes on, same aesthetic. We're all good. Just now you're on it. Now you're a riverboat captain. So just save on money.
I'm looking at all these movies and I feel like these were all the ones that were supposed to come out last year. I don't think there are any new ones, which makes me think that.
Which makes sense, though. Yeah, because they couldn't act.
Yeah.
Right. That's true. No, you couldn't get made. Yes. Thank you. I got it.
And the only other odd one on here, and I don't know if it's just the list I'm looking at or what it is, but there's also a documentary from the guy who did Won't You Be My Neighbor, the Mr. Rogers documentary about Anthony Bourdain, which is...
That's
interesting.
Called Roadrunner.
When's that coming out?
July 16th. It's up against Space Jam and Escape Room.
Wow.
Tournament of Champions.
Well, I don't think either of those movies are going to steal from the people who really want to go see a documentary about Anthony Bourdain. So I think that's a pretty smart thing to do.
And for what it's worth, right? Like the last, like Won't You Be My Neighbor, which came out a couple of years ago. And then they had the other Mr. Rogers movie with Tom Hanks.
Right.
Those actually, like, I think that maybe it could be this is like they just sort of landed in the middle of the summer. Like, I think documentaries in general, like, A, easier to produce those during a COVID year. And B, like, I think maybe audiences are opening. I mean, it's not opening weekend, huge box office thing, but like, I think seeing some more documentaries in theaters that aren't like art houses is actually starting to become more of a thing, or at least it was kind of pre-pandemic.
No, there's one that came out last week that was actually someone we mentioned before, Edgar Wright, who's coming out with Last Night in Soho, has one about the Sparks Brothers, a very famous musical duo. That he has one called the Sparks Brothers that came out last week.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. It's a thing that's happening more and more. I'm a fan of it. I like going to see documentaries in theaters.
Yeah.
I wish they would do more of it.
To tie it back to what we were talking about at the beginning with MoviePass. I remember that I wanted to go and see Three Identical Strangers. in the movie theater. Yeah. And I got to the theater with my mom and my ex-boyfriend. And when we left the house, that movie was showing up on the app that you could get tickets to. So then when we got to the theater and we were, you know, like the 100 yards or 500 yards from the theater, we opened the app after we parked and it was gone.
Maybe it's my fault because I feel like I was probably going under Alamo Drafthouse and getting rewarded.
Exactly. You took away our tickets.
Wait, for what it's worth, though, I did on MoviePass go see that movie at Alamo Drafthouse, as a matter of fact. So
there you go.
Absolutely. Yes.
Wow.
And so I had MoviePass at the time and you can just go see anything. It was great. Mm-hmm. I had the Alamo Draft Pass for half a second, but then I think COVID hit. And then I was like, also,
was that their attempt at a MoviePass?
It was, and there were some more restrictions on it, but, I mean, I every theater has them now, like you were mentioning at the top, too. So maybe I'll start getting those again at some point. So that's the summer.
Yeah, I think I'll get A-list again soon.
Yeah.
But maybe not soon, just because based off of our... You paid the whole time?
Whole time, because I am an A-list member. Yeah.
Were you afraid of like losing some status of like member since?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm the kind of guy who, when they thank the A-list, I stand up and I bow.
Yeah.
He still wanted his free birthday popcorn.
You know, I think you drink. Have, just to call this out, I think you've literally made that joke on this podcast before. Cause as I've gone back and listened to it, I've heard you say that before.
It's very important.
It's true. My wife loves when I do it every time. So I'm not ashamed of it. I wait for it. Sometimes I'll just leave after that.
So before we get out of here for the first episode of the new season, yay, we're back. There was some weird, I felt like it was weird news that came out a couple weeks ago. I mean, they've been working on it in general, but now they're just kind of adding more people to the cast. And I guess now we know because you can't fool us twice. I guess we know who the father is going to be this time, but they're doing a spinoff reboot. I don't know what you want to call it, of How I Met Your Mother, called How I Met Your Father.
A rehash.
Is that what it is? It's sort of it's a cross between a reboot and it's a rehash. Like, okay, we can just go with that. I like rehash.
A do-over.
So instead of Ted Mosby, it will be, I don't know the character's name, but it'll be played by Hilary Duff. And then Chris Lowell, who is in Promising Young Woman, will play, quote unquote, the opposite lead to her. So essentially, it sounds like Robin.
Is he going to be the father, or are they going to pull a Robin Scherbatsky and become like the uncle?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Like, how do we know it's going to be the actual father? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
He could be the misdirect for the whole season.
Well, that's what I meant.
I was told the reason why they didn't. Go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. Mine was just going to ask, who was he in Promising Young Woman? Because I can't picture his face.
Oh, well, I mean, I
think the guy that you were talking about.
I think he was the guy who abused her early on and what sparked this whole thing. The one she was trying to get revenge on.
Okay.
He played.
That's who the guy was.
He played.
Yeah.
Al Monroe. And he was also on. And it's really funny. It was a weird credit, by the way. It was like from that movie, but he was also in Glow. He played Bash in Glow. If you guys watched that on Netflix,
I remember that.
Yes.
Oh.
So he was. Okay. Which he was a likable character in that. He had that kind of, you know, aw shucks kind of guy thing going for him. So.
Yeah.
I'll take
it. What I was going to say is, what I was curious is, the reason the creators Carter Bays and Craig Thomas didn't want Robin to be the mother is they didn't want to do a Ross and Rachel type thing for their show for the entire season.
Right.
So they did the whole misdirect of saying that, oh, nope, that's the aunt.
Right.
Even though all made no sense in the end of it. Yeah. I'm curious if Chris will be the actual father and if they'll actually stick to it as if like that's the guy and we're just going to see the relationship unfold, or will it be the mystery of who will they eventually determine is the father? Should the show carry on season 8 or 9? So I don't know.
Well, according to the synopsis, Lowell, who is Chris Lowell, this guy, will play one of the friends, Jesse, who is smart with a bit of an edge and is cynical about love. He's an aspiring musician who works as an Uber driver to make ends meet and lives with his best friend, Tom.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wait, the first sentence. Wait, you said that he was smart with a bit of an edge?
Yes. This is how.
God, you just described me.
Oh, no. You just described every lead character in every scene. Yeah.
He's got a bit of an edge. And he's cynical about love, you know. Yep. So you can kind of see where the show is going. And also the show is 100% set up at Hulu, right? It's not even running on a network. It's just like straight to Hulu. Is that a thing we can call it now? Like straight to DVD. Sure. It's like straight to Hulu. So it's going to Hulu, but it's got Hilary Duff in the lead role.
Release date? When's it? Do we have a release date? Is it being shot?
It's being shot. I mean, I think it's coming out next year. Or this year, I should say, I guess, in the fall. So,
I'm glad that Hilary Duff got some work after Lizzie McGuire was canceled.
Yeah, well, she did, what was the...
Wasn't that like 12 years ago?
No, they were supposed to... No, I didn't mean... They were going to reboot Lizzie McGuire.
Oh, that's right, for Disney, and then they canceled it randomly. Because,
yes.
And wasn't it it was a weird thing, too. It was like creative differences. It was kind of like we couldn't make it work. It's like, what creative differences do you have on Lizzie McGuire on Disney? Like, why is that difficult?
I think I remember reading something where Hilary Duff was having an issue with, like, the outfits that she was going to wear. Mm. Being like, Lizzie wouldn't wear this. Like, I know her.
So that's why they didn't do the show?
No. I doubt that was the main reason.
Yeah.
That's the creative difference.
Yeah. Instead, Disney's going to do a spinoff called Beans, starring Beans from...
Mr. Bean? I'd actually watch that. I would.
Wait, are you saying Bean? Like, isn't that the little kid from Even Stevens?
Yes, yeah. Thank you for getting my reference, Caitlin. Yes.
Jesus Christ, guys.
Yeah.
You both know that.
But I was also trying to think, and maybe it is, at this point we're way too off the rails, because I think the in of itself, How I Met Your Mother is, and especially the character synopsis, is already so funny. But I was trying to think of any other show that probably shouldn't have had a spinoff, and the only one I can really think of is Joey from Friends, which is like, you've been on for 10 years. We're good. We've got it. You know, we're not going to watch you go make new friends.
Joey, I still think Joey could have had a chance if they brought back the old Friends into it every now and then. I remember I looked at it. Yeah. I don't think anyone ever cameoed on that show. They kind of just like threw Joey into LA. First of all, he should have stayed in New York. I don't know why they said it in LA. I get they're trying to like make him his own man, let it be his thing. But I don't think that really worked. Like, you likes Joey in New York. Who likes Joey with his friends?
Right.
I think if it stayed there and had like Ross swing by every now, or Chandler, you know, swing by once a week.
Yeah.
I think it could have worked, but it definitely did not.
I don't think that was the thing.
You did Dan Mateo.
Which is also like funny. Like, I don't like just in general, I think the problem with that show is it's kind of funny, right? Because I was like listening to the creators of Friends talk about like why they created the show, and they were like, oh, it's that period in your life where, you know, your best friends are your family and all that jazz. And I'm like, looking back at my 20s, I'm like, did I have that? Did I miss that? I don't remember that either.
Same.
I think everyone gets attached. Like, he's a part of that group, and it's like, seeing him out of that group or knowing that everyone went on their separate ways is more depressing.
Yeah, that is kind of sad. I didn't think about it that way.
He moved to LA and never spoke to his friends he was friends with for over 10 years ever again. Right.
Yeah, that's actually pretty sad.
Did they ever do like the where he's on the phone? He's like, hey, the Ross, you know.
And you only hear one side of it.
Yeah.
Oh. That actually would have been really good. I wish they did that. I doubt it, but that would have been great.
Yeah.
I'm looking up some other ones that are like just really bad spinoffs. I mean, Law and Order, by its own fault, had like 18 spinoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was one that I do remember that only lasted, I think, one season, if not less, which was Law and Order Trial by Jury.
Yes.
It had the guy from Numbers, that old show on CBS with David Krumholtz, the other one, not him. And it had B.B. Newirth. And I do not think it lasted very long.
Yeah,
because I don't think people really wanted to care about a jury for every episode of a show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just for
but that definitely did not last.
I remember that one, and for what it's worth, I think what was weird about that show is like when you watch Law and Order. Every Law and Order is the same premise, right? You're seeing it from the detectives kind of investigating, you know, like there's a crime, right? They're right. figuring it out, and then the second
and it gets solved,
right? There was criminal intent was the other one where you saw it from the side of the person doing it. So from the beginning, you already know who did it. Now it's just watching as the cops kind of catch them, and then Trial by Jury was sort of the worst end of that, where it's like, yeah, you don't know who did it. You're kind of like figuring it out with the jury. Like, no one wants to feel like a jury for an hour. Like, they mm-hmm, like, where I'm like, right. I don't know, we might be committing the wrong guy here to a life sentence, but oh well, you know. Produced by Dick Wolf. The end. Goodbye. Exactly. Yeah.
That's on my list. And then I don't know if you guys remember, there was a show. I mean, there's a show called Bones with David Boreanaz Zooey Deschanel's sister. There was a spinoff to that show called The Finder with Michael Clark Duncan.
I
don't think it lasted more than 4 or 5 episodes.
Yeah.
But I do remember watching the first one and I was like, oh, I kind of like this. I could do that. I could get into this. And it didn't. It didn't last. They didn't bring anyone back from the original show. It just did not work out.
I wish I did my research, i.e. I wish Tommy gave me a heads up.
Next time.
Because the only spinoff that I can think of right now, but it's actually really good, is Better Call Saul.
Yeah. That show is clearly better. Is this a stretch at this point to say that Better Call Saul is a better series than Breaking Bad? Because I know there's a lot of people who are like,
I don't know.
Well,
that's tricky.
I think here's my defense of why I firmly believe that is Breaking Bad. You're kind of watching someone sort of slowly but surely kind of, you know, dodge getting caught and doing all these things. And you're just kind of not knowing where he's like navigating and when it's all going to end badly. You know how it's going to end for Saul. You're just watching. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes it even crazier to see how, like, you know, like he's got his life and he's trying to become a lawyer and you're rooting for him and he's got a relationship and you're like, this is all going to go crashing. And I have no idea the thread that's going to connect where we are right now to how bad things are for him later. But it makes it but you're rooting for the guy the whole time. And so I don't know. It's a much more exciting ride for me to watch that than go like Breaking Bad, which is, I'm not discounting it.
Never watched
great.
Better Call Saul.
You've never watched it.
I should.
Wow.
I love Breaking Bad. I love that show. I have not gotten into Better Call Saul yet.
Well,
I know
you can binge it.
So. Yeah.
I know.
That should definitely be on your list.
I will have one more though before we end this thing. And it's one of the best of all time because it has my boy Dennis Reynolds.
I know. I know it. I literally have it on my screen right here.
That 70s show went a decade later for some reason to that 80s show. And it was awful. It was
wow.
Really
did
but
I like
Glenn
did
Howerton,
I like block it
young.
Out of my mind? I don't even remember that this happened.
It didn't last that
very
long.
Very repressed, repressed type show. I think it took place majority in a video store or a CD store.
Yeah,
like Empire Records type thing, but a decade too early. And Glenn Howerton, a very young Glenn Howerton, was the lead or the co-lead.
Yeah.
And it did not do well. 13 episodes, I think.
Yeah. The other, the female lead on that show is the girl who was in all the, or not the all, the one, Not Another Teen Movie. I don't know what else she was in now that I think about it. I just had a huge crush on her. That's the only reason I remember that very, very deeply. But on the show, she has the 80s hairstyle because, you know, like with like big giant points.
Are you talking about the girl who was also on Grey's Anatomy?
Yes. Dr. Lexi Gray.
Sister. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I know who you're talking about.
A huge crush on her. But before she was Dr. Lexi Gray. Way before that.
So you got in early.
Yeah. I got in early.
So it counts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good.
Those are my top two between The Finder and that 80s show. Those are the worst spinoffs of all time. I'm not going to throw Joey in there. I got to give Matt LeBlanc some credit for at least taking a chance.
I will say,
making a lot of money.
Did you guys by any chance watch the reunion for Friends on HBO Max?
Yes.
I did not.
Okay. Well, with no spoilers.
But I heard highlights about it.
What were the highlights you heard? Because that's actually maybe a funnier way to end this.
Well, so the main thing, and I mentioned it to you guys off of the air, but it said that the people were saying, like, yeah, basically the takeaway is that all the women look great and all the guys look like crap.
Yeah. Matt LeBlanc was fine. He was the only person you're looking at. You're like, man, I hope I age as well as Matt LeBlanc. I mean, that's how I felt watching.
Did you see the meme of Matt LeBlanc? He was like sitting in a chair and he looks super, he's like looking off to the side, like super proud, like, yeah. Yeah. And there was like,
he's like
this meme,
uncle.
This meme came out about him and yeah. It was hysterical because it was so accurate. One of them was like, your father on Christmas Day as his kids are, as you're opening the presents that he has no idea what they are because your mom bought all of them. Yeah, but he's still so proud.
He's proud. Yeah. Proud boy.
It was kind of sad to see them all that, yeah. You know, they all aged, you know, some of them obviously clearly had work done.
Yeah.
And definitely looks like that Matthew Perry had a stroke or something. He just does not look good.
Oh, no.
And
yeah, I feel
terrible.
Bad for
you know,
him.
You live with these people for so long, for years.
Yeah.
And then just to see it, you know, I guess I'm happy they're all together. And, you know, I'm sure they're making at least $20 million a year off that show alone still today.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
But I did hear that, like, they didn't even, like, when they all came together to film the reunion, they didn't even like spend time with each other outside of the filming. Like they didn't like go and hang out and
I don't think they're friends. Yeah, I don't think they're friends now, and I don't blame them. I think, you know, you spend that amount of time with each other for that long and you get pigeonholed. I think some of them maybe resented the show a little bit and wanted to do their own thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame them. I don't. I think what's it called? Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox are actually friends, but I think that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was definitely weird. Matthew Perry. One of the things I noticed, a lot of people are, you know, speculating about his demeanor and stuff, but the biggest takeaway for me was when you watch Friends and he has that self-deprecating humor, it's kind of like, ah, shucks, but like he's got a bit of smile and it's like, ah, he's like a young guy, he's not, you know, this, like he's still doing the self-deprecating humor, but he's slouched over and his head's down and it's like,
yeah,
you know, and it's like, oh no, when you say like, you guys probably wish I was dead, like, and you slouch down, it's it doesn't come off the same way it did 25 years ago. Oh
yeah,
don't
sad.
Do that.
It did make me very sad.
But it is interesting. Would you have thought when Friends aired that Phoebe would be the one who would be the most successful, like not to be pigeonholed.
Yeah.
I would have expected her people to always cast her as like the ditzy, like unironically funny character.
Yeah. I mean, cause Courtney Cox kind of played a very similar character on Cougar Town. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
I forgot about that too.
And then Jennifer Aniston, I heard she was married to Brad Pitt, but that's pretty much like her legacy at this point. She's been in a lot of movies and she tried a lot of different things and a lot of different roles. What was the one movie that almost got her a nomination or an award somewhere?
Oh, she got the
a while back.
No, it was she's on that. What?
I think it's called Cake or Caked.
No, she's on the TV show that's on Apple Plus.
Oh, I forgot about that.
She got with The Morning Show.
Oh,
Reese Witherspoon.
That's on my list to watch. Oh, The Good Girl was the one I was thinking of, by the way. That was back in 2002, and that Friends was still on at that point. So,
oh, wow.
Right. And then but later on, 2014, she was in another movie called Cake, which got more chance of her getting an Oscar chances than I think Good Girl did in 2002, which was also a good movie. I would say Jennifer definitely had the most success over all of them. I mean, Matthew Perry too. Jennifer and Matthew had a lot of movie success doing the rom-coms, but they were still all
pigeonholed though.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Matthew Perry was still just playing Matthew Perry in everything he was in. Like he was just
absolutely
the same quips. They were writing roles for him. Like all these, like the whole 9 yards, 10 yards, whatever, how many movies that thing had.
Yep. And there's a couple of failed shows. I mean, I liked Studio 60, Aaron Sorkin's failed SNL show. I liked Mr. Sunshine. Like, there were some shows that he, you know, again, he was playing Matthew Perry. You're right. But it just kind of sucked. They never took off. You know, it definitely, it was sad that they didn't carry on, because I think he would have benefited from having another steady show.
Yeah. And then there was the movie that the TV shows that Matt LeBlanc did a bunch of other like sitcoms too, but they're all on CBS, so no one watches them. But like, they were out there. He did like one or two, right?
Yeah, episodes, Man with a Plan.
Yeah, yeah.
He had other shows.
Yeah.
Lisa Kudrow had the other show on HBO or one of those other streaming. I forgot what it was called, but she had a show.
The Comeback, I think, right?
Other shows. Yeah. The Comeback, yes. Thank you.
So
yeah, they all definitely had other options, but I understand the fact that they wouldn't want to hang out with each other. I do.
Looking at this now, I'm going to say, I'm just furiously running through things. I think David Schwimmer is the person who did the least, but I also know he wanted to do more stuff behind the scenes anyway.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
Yeah, he did a lot more like directing and stuff after, but anyway. Friends, speaking of Friends, we're all back together.
Wow, that was good.
Yeah. Feels good. Good job, Tom.
Yeah, it tied it all together. I forgot how we end the show, so.
You just did it.
We did?
Let's just have our listeners imagine if we are actually friends in real life.
You can just play the sting from the end of the episode of Friends. Like,
there you go. Get the royalties credits. For that, Tommy.
I'll go do that.
Get spend the money. End it that way.
Cool. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.